Jerusalem, and there's the area, they reckon, the location. It's not a very nice river, as Naaman in the Old Testament said. He said, why would I want to dip in one of these rivers? The rivers back in my country are much nicer. And I've no doubt they were. I mean, that's a right grotty old river. Look, it's all muddy. And but that's where John was baptising. He had a leather belt, and he had camel. It was his clothes are made of camel's hair, and he was in the desert, quite a wild guy. But he had followers, because people became his followers. They were his disciples. So he probably had a group of people out there living with him in the desert, and they were keeping away from the religion of the day, the fixed religion, and they were saying, no, that's not right, there's something more to this. And but what did he preach? He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He said that to some of the religious leaders, but actually in another part it says he spoke to the crowds like that, because they were in the crowd. So even those that weren't religious, particularly like the Pharisees and so on, they were thinking, oh man, yeah, he's speaking to me. Am I a viper? And this is what it says. He went in all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough ways become smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. And that's from John 3:3-6. And of course, that's quoting Isaiah 40, which was written about 600 years before, which is amazing. So there was John fulfilling prophecy. And Jesus said something really important about him. Of people born of women, he's one of the most important. And so we ought to listen to what John said, because Jesus said he was a really important prophet. And some people said he's like Elijah. In fact, they talk about Elijah must come. And it was almost like Elijah being reenacted as he was there in the desert. Now, what did he live on in the desert? Well, he ate wild honey. This is from Kent, so it is wild honey. And locusts. They're not so nice. But anybody want a locust? Oh, very nice. Very nice. Particularly the raw ones. But, But I reckon he got fed up with locusts in the end. They did this on the, a bit tongue-in-cheek on the Passion. Now, you know, the Passion, you know what we're watching? The Chosen, the other day. And I said, I'm really hungry, one of his disciples said. I said, oh, we've got loads to eat. How about locusts dipped in honey? And he went, ugh. So I'm told that, but locusts and honey wasn't too much growing in the desert. But so he lived in the desert and ate wild honey, ate locusts. And why the Jordan? The Jordan was a very specific place. Of course, Jordan had a lot of things attached to it. Thoughts attached to it, because the people had to go through the Jordan to reach the promised land. So the Jordan was really special to these people. And of course, God opened up the Jordan so they could walk through to come to the promised land. So that was like the border of the promised land. And don't forget Naaman, when he came to, is it Elijah or Elisha? I can't remember. I think it's Elisha. That Naaman came to, this foreign army leader, eventually made his way to Elisha. Elisha didn't even come out to him. He said to him, go and dip yourself in the Jordan. He sent a servant out to speak to him. Man, that humbled Naaman somewhat, because he was an important soldier. He was the general in the army. And this prophet didn't even come and see him. Go and dip yourself in that rotten old river. like the River Thames. You know, like it wasn't a nice river. But eventually, Naaman had to humble himself, and he dipped himself, and he was cleansed. And so it spoke of cleansing. And the water of Jordan was used for cleansing of Naaman, but of course, that's where Jesus was later baptized. So what's it all about? You see, baptism... wash your hands in here, mate. Baptism, you see, wasn't a new thing. It was, people used to wash their hands, not just to make themselves clean, but it was like a sign. Now, we know Alan's hands are cleaner than they were just now, yeah? He's washed some whatever off of them, he's washed them off. And that's like a picture. Thanks. So the Jews were used to this washing stuff. You had to wash to go into the temple. The priest had to wash to do stuff. They had to sprinkle things with water and blood and so on. They were used to cleansing. And that grew into a greater thing where people were eventually being completely baptized in water to show, actually, I'm getting clean for God. But like all these things, it can become a ritual. You ever go into the temple? Yeah. And the Pharisees would probably stand there and go, hey, there's one, he didn't wash his hands properly. Don't forget, of course, the jars of water that were when Jesus turned water into wine. There were 6 stone vessels, and they each held 90 gallons of water. So, man, they are seriously into washing, aren't they, these people? They really, this ceremony, and they says in the story that they were there for ceremonial washing. I'm not sure it was 90 gallons each or 90 gallons, the whole lot, but it was 90 gallons is mentioned. Yeah, so they're seriously into ceremonial washing. But so when it came to John's baptism, was this just another ritual? But what was he saying? Repent and be baptized. So it was a baptism of repentance. Emphasis was on the outward act, but an inner change. So that was something different to what they were used to. They were washing their hands because it had become a ceremony to do. But actually, all the time, really, it's about being clean before God. It wasn't about washing your hands. It was about recognizing, actually, I need to clean my heart. But maybe that had been lost. There's so much use, so much ritual. What does it mean? But it was washing away the old life. John was saying, wash away the old life. That's why he said to the people, you brood of vipers, you've got to produce fruit that shows there's a change. Fruit of repentance. It's no good just washing yourself. You've got to produce fruit. So John's baptism was announcing something as well. It was announcing the coming of Jesus. So in theological terms, I don't know if I can pronounce this, it's eschatological. So it's about eschatology. What's that about? Things to come. Things that we don't know yet. That's what that means. So he was showing things to come. And it was also apocalyptic. I watched a film once called Apocalypse Now. Yeah, it was, I don't know if you've ever seen that. It was about Vietnam, because these things were so bad, it was like the end of the world was coming. So apocalyptic is about the end of the world. So the things, because it was, be careful, there's coming wrath. Yeah, that's what John was saying. Flee from the coming wrath. That's why you've got to repent, because the end of the world's coming. So John was talking about things in the future, but he was saying you've got to get right before God. He was pointing towards the end of the age, and he was talking about the Saviour coming. So he was there preaching, gathering this group, but of course he was talking about a change of behaviour. And the conversation was announcing a new realm, the new kingdom coming. Question. Does my behaviour and conversation announce the coming of Jesus? Perhaps we should think about that. Perhaps I need to think about that. Every day am I announcing the coming of Jesus through who I am? Am I aware that actually this is not my home, this world? Am I looking forward to a greater home? I was reading something the other day. Someone went to a Christian's house years ago, back in the a few hundred years ago, and he was surprised, although this guy was quite famous, he didn't have much furniture. And he said, "Where's your furniture?" And he said, "Well, where's yours?" Well, the bloke said, "I'm a visitor. Of course I ain't got it with me." And he said, "So am I. I'm just a visitor." Because what he was saying is that my home's not here. My home's somewhere else. My real home's somewhere else. Who's unaware of my faith in Jesus? Is there anybody unaware in my life of my faith in Jesus? Perhaps I should make them aware, because they need to know. How can I introduce Jesus to them? Well, if you don't know how to, ask God. Sometimes I do that. I say, "God, I want to talk to so-and-so about the Lord, about you. Can you show me how to do it?" And so this was a different baptism. It was directed by Jesus. Sorry, it was directed towards Jesus. Or different from this. Sorry, I'm reading my notes here at the same time. It was a different baptism from Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism, John talked about like this, in that it brings baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a sign of dying to the old life and being raised up with Jesus to a new life. That's the baptism that Jesus brought. Paul also rebaptized people who'd experienced John's baptism. He said, "Oh, you've only had John's baptism. Oh, you need Jesus' baptism." So he rebaptized them. So it was a one-off for John, but also it was a one-off for Jesus' baptism. And then, speaking of Jesus, he said this: "I baptize you with water, but one's more powerful than I is coming, whose straps of sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Because the Holy Spirit was going to change people's lives, but he hadn't come yet. And that's what we were looking forward to the Messiah who was going to do amazingly more than just repentance. But repentance is important. It's all part of salvation. We need to repent and then come to the Lord Jesus. And John's directing people to change their behaviour. John's emphasis wasn't on the baptism, not about getting wet with water. Where was his emphasis? His emphasis was on a change of behaviour. So he was saying to these religious people, "Don't just come here, coming through another ritual. This is not just another ritual. You've got to change inside. This is really important. It's not about getting wet. It's a matter of changing inside." So he said to some people, "If you've got two shirts, share the other one with someone else. So stop being generous towards others." And the tax collector said, "What should we do?" He said, "Well, stop collecting more than you have to. Don't do that anymore. Change and only collect what you have to." And there's some soldiers came. They said, "What should we do?" He said, "Don't put people to extortion. No, don't extort money out of people. If you don't do that, I'll take money from you. Don't do that. And don't falsely accuse people," because they were like the police at the time, weren't they? "Don't say he's done something when he hasn't. You know, start being honest. Don't use your power wrongly. Don't accuse people falsely." Repentance, then, is an important issue that I need to consider. Every one of us needs to consider. In the light of what John says, what do I need to stop doing that I'm doing now? Is there anything I should stop doing? Oh, I need to repent. And then not just say sorry, but say, "I'm not going to do that anymore with your power." What do I need to start doing? You know, the shirt thing. Who should I be generous to? Is there something I can start doing? Can I give something to someone? Can I help them with my time? What can I start doing? What have I got that I can give to others? Because it's a blessing to have two shirts in those days. Don't just keep one in the wardrobe. Give it to someone else. Or what of the above have I neglected? Oh, I stopped doing that, but now I started doing it again. I started doing that thing, but I've let it drift. What have I neglected? Do I need to come to God and say, oh, I neglected that? So does my behaviour announce the coming of Jesus? Is there anything I need to change? Because repentance is a step towards salvation. That's what John was saying. Get right. And look what it says there. The crooked road should become straight and the rough way smooth. He's not talking about becoming an engineer like McQuinn and start fixing roads, is he? He's saying the road in your heart towards God should be smoother so he can come in. God, I want to open yourself up. I got it wrong. Come in. And all people will see God's salvation. So there's an opportunity for everyone. But we've got to start somewhere. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, as we take a step towards God, he comes towards us. And that was what people were doing, coming and making a step towards God and a real change of heart. So there's John's baptism. And then, of course, Jesus turned up. But I better not get into that, because we've got a great preacher next week. And he's going to tell us all about the baptism of Jesus and when Jesus came to John to be baptized. Why on earth did Jesus come to be baptized? He didn't need to repent, surely. A baptism of repentance? Man, I'm glad I'm coming. I won't be here. I'm going on holiday. I'll listen to it online. But really important, isn't it, to think about these things. Thanks very much, and I hope you enjoyed John the Baptist. I'm sure I wasn't as good as Tim would have been, but there you are. So we pray, and then we can have some more fellowship together. Don't forget to eat the stuff or take it home or whatever, because we don't want to take it home. Father, thank you so much for one another. We thank you that there's people like John that were willing to step aside from life and really take a risk and go out in the desert and call people to repentance. And Lord, we don't exactly want to be John the Baptist. We're not too keen on eating locusts, but Lord, we do want to point the way to you, just like John did. So help us to be pointers towards the Lord Jesus. And please walk with us this week as we go about our everyday life. And we pray that our everyday life won't just be every day, but it'll be special for you each day, because we're your people and we're only here temporarily. Amen. Okay, God bless. And thanks for the singing and so on, and thanks for eating the food. There's some more coffee. There's plenty more coffee. Okay.